It's a mini episode this week, guys. No Jackie. It's just me and a couple other folks from the LA Podcast Fest and one enormous exclusive interview that you don't want to miss. I know I sound like I'm being sarcastic, but I'm not. JFIO presents.
What? Are you kidding? We got us a family here.
This ain't no coon, huh?
I'm not going to sit here and debate.
I'll show you the life of a man!
You will find a fortune. It would not be the fortune you seek.
I suppose you think you've raised hell.
When I've raised hell, you'll know it.
Something is very wrong. I don't want Santana Abraxas. I've just been in a terrible auto accident.
What's the most you ever lost in the coin toss?
Sometimes knowledge is precious.
Accept the Mystery, a Coen Brothers podcast.
Welcome to a mini bonus episode of Accept the Mystery, the show where we typically review every single Coen Brothers movie in chronological order in absurd... Did I say absurd? The pronunciation of that word was particularly absurd. The more you replace your S's with Z's, the more hoity-toity you sound. Either that, or you can go in the opposite direction and really draw out the S's. As in, this sorbet is delightful. You should throw those S's even into words that don't normally have an S in them. Where was I? Oh yeah, absurd, ridiculous, encyclopedic, excruciating levels of detail, but not today. Today, we have no particular movie to talk about. Today, we don't even have a Jackie. It's sad. It's just me alone in this room. Back to recording a solo podcast. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've had to just sit down by myself and just ramble and let thoughts pour out of my head. What thoughts do I have in my head currently? I think just lots of just ping-ponging bullshit. You know, the emails you gotta send and the phone calls you gotta take and the errands you gotta take care of. It's a rat race, guys. It's a busy, busy world. I got in a car accident recently, and it was totally my fault. I rear-ended somebody on the freeway. It's not like, and seriously, it's not like I was, like, stoned and I wasn't texting. I wasn't speeding either. I wasn't driving especially fast. It was just, you know, one of those blink-and-you-miss-it things. I'm looking in the other lane, and then I look ahead of me, and the car ahead of me is stopping too quickly, and I'm stopping not quickly enough. And then all of a sudden, I blink and then airbags have deployed and there's like a cloud full of just gas and car body particles floating around. And I feel like I'm like, holy shit, I've been in a car accident. And then I'm like, oh my God, is this car going to explode? Because of course, that's what you're conditioned to think. You're conditioned to think. I've seen this before in movies and stuff where there's an initial explosion and then it turns your car into a ticking time bomb where it could go off at any moment. That inspired me to get out of my car on the freeway and just very, very, very carefully walk around my car. Luckily, it was in the right-hand lane, so I just walked over to the shoulder and looked at the... walked over to the other car who I hit, which was a Range Rover and was barely scratched. They asked if I was okay. I got a couple cuts on my arm. I an airbag burn. I feel like Tom York. You know, an airbag saved my life. It's literally true. If there wasn't for the airbag, I probably would have like flown through the windshield. It really makes you reflect on how fragile life is and how in an instant, you know, that soul, that spark of life that animates you could just be extinguished due to one dumb mistake. And I thought about that for a moment. And then a couple of hours later, I was driving back from my mom's house because she'd lent me her car, and I was getting frustrated because the car in front of me was going too slowly, and I sped up to move around it, and I realized I haven't learned a damn thing. Maybe I think it just means I'm too impatient. It's ultimately the lesson I'm taking from that entire incident. Is my sin wasn't necessarily distraction or even poor driving, it was just impatience. It was just I was driving too fast in the slow lane. And Because it's like a church thing. Isn't there a sept in some old churches? It's like part, like next to the crypt, the sept. It's like a mix between a crypt and a septic tank. Or am I getting this completely wrong? Maybe it's where they keep the holy water. I'm not totally sure. Point is, I think that's just a symptom of the fact that impatience has crept into just lots of parts of my life. I'm trying to get a million things done at once, and I'm always thinking, why is this not going as fast as I want it to? But you know what? I'm going to look at this period years from now and think I should have just slowed down and enjoyed the process. Because life's not about the destination. It's about how you get there. It's about figuring out ways to get there. It's not about being there and luxuriating and sipping a mojito and being like, yeah, man, I made it. Because that feeling will disappear pretty quickly. But the feeling of pushing yourself forward to try to accomplish something, that's an endlessly renewable feeling. Because there's always going to be more mountain to climb. I probably would have been a few minutes late to my job, and that's not great. Maybe that means I should have left earlier. I should have left the house earlier and just had more time to enjoy listening to other podcasts. I have been listening to some great stuff recently. If you guys listen to Serial, it's like, seriously, it's like watching an addictive true crime documentary, except you're listening to it. And I legitimately have no idea how it's going to end. When you're done listening to this, you should listen to that. But first, listen to this. Because speaking of other podcasts, I was at the LA Podcast Festival a couple weeks ago. Also sends Jackie. Jackie was at some destination wedding in, I was going to say some fancy place, but she was just in Philadelphia. No offense to Philadelphians. It's a great city. But it's not like she's going to, like, I don't know, Bolivia on some week and a half long safari. Jackie's a jet setter, guys. You guys don't even know. She is a popular person who lives an extravagant lifestyle with fancy friends. And I'm sure next time she's on the podcast, if she listens to this, she will shoot that claim down. Or at least cutely temper it, like, oh, no, I'm not that cool. Seriously, guys, I just have awesome vacation weddings in Bolivia I go to and, I don't know, meet Haim on my days off. I'm just teasing. I know you're listening to this. Anyway, I went to the LA Podcast Festival a couple weeks ago. Now, if you're not familiar with the LA Podcast Festival, it's a little like a comedy festival, except instead of going from like room to room or club to club, watching different like stand-up comedians or improv teams, you know, perform and try to make you laugh, instead you're watching those comics sit at a table and have casual discussions and conversations. It really is just a comedy festival, except everybody is sitting down. Which makes it a little bit more of a relaxed environment. And also, everybody's playing to audio, so there aren't that many impressive visual things going on. A couple exceptions. Super Ego, which was amazing. And those guys were all like in lab coats, and they were playing media off an iPad. And man, if you haven't seen Super Ego Live, if you've listened to the Super Ego podcast and you're wondering what Super Ego Live would be like, it's completely worth checking out. Saw a lot of other cool shows too, but most germanely to this particular podcast you're about to listen to, I got to bring my little Editorial tape recorder with me. They have a thing called the Squarespace Podcast Lab, sponsored by Squarespace, who seems to sponsor every podcast in the world, except this one, because they're discriminating against me. I'm sure it's an anti-Semitic thing. I'm on to you, Squarespace. Anyways, they sponsored this podcast lab where podcasters can show up and set up their own equipment and interview, you know, basically other podcasters or whoever happens to walk through. I didn't bring my entire setup. I just brought a tape recorder, basically, but I did get to snag a couple of interviews. And I have those to present to you now in lieu of a normal podcast episode this week. I'm going to give you guys a few interviews that I did with people about the Coen brothers. Mostly pretty low-key stuff with just some other podcasting enthusiasts. Chatted about the Coen bros. But one big interview. One very big interview that I'm going to save for the very end. And I'm not going to reveal who it is just yet. Let's first roll this first clip. This is me talking to the host of the Radio Dan show. His name is Dan Delgado. You can check out his show at RadioDanShow.net. And I asked him some questions about the Coen brothers. And the very end of this interview cut off. So when it cuts off abruptly, don't get upset at me. I mean, you should get upset at me for screwing up the very end of the interview, but don't get upset at me for not warning you ahead of time. Because I definitely warned you ahead of time with the very warning that I am midway through warning you with at this exact moment. You are being warned right now. And now it's done. And the moment is gone. You have been warned about the end of this interview. Now enjoy the beginning and middle of this interview. All right, so listen up. This is, hey, it's Josh Richmond here for Accept the Mystery. I'm just talking to random people here at the LA Podcast Festival, asking them hyper-specific questions about the films of the Coen brothers. Okay. And my first victim is from the Radio Dad Show, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, yes. My name is actually Dan.
Is it actually? Okay, that's...
Works out.
That is appropriate. That's like, man, you. It's like when you found the Radio Dan Show, you must have been like, this is perfect for me.
Yeah, that's. I was looking for it. Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
I keep talking about changing the name, so if anybody has a better name for me, feel free.
No, I think you're good. I think you should stick with it.
All right.
So, all I'm going to ask you is, when I tell you about the Coen brothers, what does that bring to mind? What do you think? Are you a fan?
I am a huge fan. I've seen all Coen brother films.
You've seen all of them?
I have seen all of them. That's correct, yes.
So, okay, so even like, you know, The Intolerable Cruelty and The Lady Killers, some would argue they're low point, their studio comedy period.
I'll tell you what, I think Intolerable Cruelty is honestly underrated. You know what? I think part of the problem is that when they advertise that movie, if you look at those trailers, it looks like standard rom-com fare, and you kind of look at what that plot's going to be, and then when you see the film, it's entirely different.
Yeah. Oh, you think, oh, George Clooney, Catherine Zeta-Jones, I know what I'm in for, but you don't know what you're in for. It's surprising.
Yes, exactly. And really, that is what a Coen Brothers movie is. What you're in for.
Yeah, it's a clockwork treat. Just a crackerjack plot. That's what you expect. Do you have a favorite Coen Brothers movie?
All right. It's hard to narrow down to one, okay?
Of course it is.
The ones that I frequently go back to is I go back to Miller's Crossing a lot.
Very classic. Just an epic gangster saga, that one.
Absolutely. The characters, the dialogue, I don't know. There's something about that movie. I remember when it came out and I was watching Siskel and Ebert, and Gene Siskel had described it as there's not a bad moment in the movie, not a bad scene in the film.
See, I told you it ends abruptly. Guys, you had been warned. Don't tell me I did not warn you. But I'm sorry about it ending abruptly. I don't know why that happened. However, I do have another interview to play. Because after talking to Radio Dan in the Squarespace Podcast Lab, which, by the way, sounds super fancy, maybe conjures up like a giant white room full of beakers and test tubes, or even if you're not thinking of it that literally, at the very least like a very large ballroom type setting full of tables. This was essentially the size of a small conference room with enough room for maybe three people and their equipment all at once. And me standing in the corner talking to this guy. His name is Mark Hershon, and he hosts a podcast called Succotash. And if you haven't listened to Succotash, they are the podcast about comedy podcasts. They are the comedy podcast. And in fact, I don't think it's up yet, but stay tuned. And I'll let you guys know the link when it's up. But in addition to me interviewing him about the Coen brothers, he interviewed me about having a comedy podcast. Although this isn't really a comedy podcast, I mean, I try to be funny, but it's more of a pop culture and movie discussion and dissection podcast. But I digress. Mark Hershon of the Succotash Podcast, right here on Accept the Mystery.
Hello. Once again, this is Josh Richmond from Accept the Mystery. My co-host Jackie is not here, but I'm here at the LA Podcast Festival asking people hyper-specific questions about the Coen brothers, which is at least a change of pace from, hey, how did you start your podcast, or why do you like podcasting?
Sure.
I've got an angle, and I appreciate that. But I'm here with a guy who actually does just talk to people about podcasting, but he has an excellent podcast called Succotash. I totally know your show. It's the podcast about comedy podcasts.
It is. My name's Mark Hershon, and thanks for stopping by my little slice of the podcast lab.
I'm happy to. I was happy to see you here. I'm like, hey, I know this guy. I feel like I'm going to have that feeling a couple of times throughout
Probably,
this festival.
Yeah, it's very...
Already seen Jimmy Pardo come through here. The guy who does the Green Guide show, that Australian show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen him. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's very deja vu-ish.
It is. And it's also weird to actually see people who you've only heard their voice and be like, wow, that body doesn't necessarily match that voice.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of podcasting. So, what do you think of the Coen brothers?
I love the Coen brothers. I think they're fantastic. Well,
of course, that's fantastic.
I'm also a screenwriter, so
you are. Oh, that's no kidding.
Yeah, so they're kind of a figure you can, or figures that you can really hold up in terms of what they've written, what they've directed, what they've produced, and their body of work is just so amazing in terms of its scope that you can say almost any kind of movie you write, you can go, I can hold them up as an example.
I think for a lot of filmmakers and film students, they're held up as kind of just quintessential just craftsmen, people who really understand the craft of filmmaking and the craft of creating a story that just works from start to finish. Great, great first acts, great third acts, great everything.
Absolutely.
Do you have a favorite Coen Brothers movie?
That's a good question. I have a lot of movies I really enjoy from them. Do I have a favorite? I don't know. I love, I think the quirkier ones are, and they're all quirky, by
sure.
the way.
They on some level, they're all quirky.
But I think taking a property like The Odyssey and turning it into Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
And we just watched that for the show. Man, having seen that just about a week ago, what a beautiful film.
I mean, it's absolutely genius to cast, John, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Chichiro?
No. John Goodman.
John Goodman.
As the Cyclops.
Right. Yes, right.
Right?
And you've got sirens, and you've got a siren. Yeah, just all these different elements.
So, I mean, that to me is just like, it's the epitome of, you know, there's a saying that there's only 7 original plot lines in movies. And the Coen Bros have
made... Oh, is that like where it's like man versus man versus nature versus society?
Yeah,
right.
And the Coen Bros have managed to take that paradigm and change it in so many different ways that you just kind of go, wow, if they can do this with all these different ideas, all these basic premises, then I should be able to churn out something that's going to be original.
Right.
And you look at so much of the crap that's out there, and it's just not... It's so derivative.
But it's hard. I mean, it's got to be intimidating, looking at a movie like Oh Brother, and like, it's retelling The Odyssey, and it's also a movie about the Depression-era South, and it's also this star showcase for George Clooney and just a fun adventure movie, and it's doing all these things at once. It's a hard template to live up to.
I don't mind saying it's put the movies I've done for the Hallmark Channel to shame.
Hey, I love Hallmark movies.
Okay,
they always bring a tear to my eye.
Okay, good.
Do you have a least favorite Coen Brothers movie?
You know, I don't know that I really do. You know, I think I've seen pretty much everything they've done. And I can't, I mean, some of them are maybe a little weaker than others, but I think some of that's also, they're taking a chance on stuff. I mean,
right, at the very least, there's always a risk and there's always something interesting, and always, like, as auteurs, you're like, I like the twist that they're doing and I respect their angle.
And I mean, just their influence is amazing. You know, I heard that, although they're executive producers on the Fargo TV series, they literally never watched it. They had nothing to do with it.
I completely believe that.
But it's so heavily influenced by their vision.
I mean, I love that show, but it almost reads like a work of, like, Coen fan fiction. Like, man, we're just working all these great elements from the movies, and they all, like, make an appearance at some point.
Very much so. Very much so. So one thing they don't do is an homage to themselves.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Succotash, the comedy podcast. Check it out.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
There you go. Mark Hirshon, super cool guy. Check out succotash.libsyn.com. Take a listen to his show and discover a whole bunch of other comedy podcasts through that show. And very soon, I think he may very well have an interview with me. Or not. Maybe he'll decide he never wants to run that interview and it'll just sit in a hard drive forever. Fine with me, too. Either way, I did have a fun time talking with him about the genesis of Accept the Mystery and various other things about comedy podcasting and the state of podcasting in general. So that's an interesting interview, if that is indeed up yet. One more interview before we get to our big interview that I keep teasing. And this one is also kind of a big interview, actually, because it's with a very lovely woman named Kulap Vilaysack. Also hosts a podcast called Who Charted, along with Howard Kramer. You can find them on the Earwolf Network. They count down the movies and TV shows of the week. She's an awesome comedian in her own right, so it was super awesome to, you know, talk to her for about 3 or 4 minutes about her favorite Coen Brothers movies, and at least one pretty sweet anecdote.
So here we go, me talking to Kulop at the LA Podcast Festival.
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Josh Richard from the LA Podcast Festival, representing Accepted Mystery. With me sitting down is from Who Charted, Kulop Vilaysak. How's it going?
It's great.
I just saw the live Who Charted show with Matt Jones. It was great.
Okay,
just the energy and seeing the crowd and like just getting into
singing
it and
along.
Singing and dancing. It's a regular musical extravaganza.
I love that.
So we'll keep it hyper specific because my podcast is dedicated to the films of the Coen brothers. And we're going through every single movie in order. So I'll ask you if you are a fan of theirs, if you have a favorite film of theirs, or if you've never seen any of their films.
Oh my God. Okay. So, So I have seen many of his films. My favorite probably is Raising Arizona.
Oh my God. I've seen that movie so many times.
I love that film. I should tell you that my husband, Scott Aukerman, and a group of our friends sort of had this, like, film clubs. I don't know what it is other than we decided to, on a Saturday, watch a bunch of movies. So we did it two Saturdays
in a row. That sounds like a room I'd want to be in. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Harris Whittles, Michael Cassidy, Neil Campbell, Paul Rust.
Damn. Pretty much all of Don't Stop or Our World Dies
was
there.
Yeah, exactly. We just watched Coen Brothers films. We watched four at a time. And then the second time, we were going to watch another four. And I had made a spread, a delicious spread. And then Paul Rust was cutting, did pulled pork sandwiches. And he was cutting bread. And all of a sudden, blood went boom. And like,
holy shit.
Yeah, blood went all over my ceiling. And Paul did it like this. So he cut himself, freaked out, and then swung his hand up and then spun around.
Decided, if I'm going to have blood all over me, I'm going to splatter blood over everybody in the room.
It was a white kitchen all over. So, you know,
it's like a Hitchcock moment. It's like psycho, blood splatter. Yeah.
And we like, Scott was like, let's take you to the emergency room. And Scott went
thinking.
And then me, Neil, and Mike Cassidy were like, we should clean. We should clean. We all sort of silently cleaned our friend's blood off my fridge, the ceiling.
Oh wait, so is this while they were going to the ER? Or is this...
Yeah, they're in the ER.
Okay, I was gonna say, wait, because your priorities are way out of order. If you like, you know what? We'll get you to the ER, but first let's get this blood out before it sets.
Yeah. Scott took him, and then we took care of the blood, and then we were like, well. Yeah. Let's go to the ER. It was the most bizarre. So that sort of ended our club of watching Coen Brother films.
That's too bad.
I think we'll do it again.
Do it more. You should.
Yeah. It was so deep. He had to get stitches.
Although that is kind of an ironically Coen-esque way to end it. Just on a awkward, violent note.
I like Hudsucker.
That's the movie that the most people have wanted to do. We're going through like every movie chronological order one at a time. That's the movie the most people want to do, like, oh, can I go on the Hudsucker Proxy episode? I think it just registers for a lot of people.
Screenwriters and like...
Lots of film people and screenwriters. Yeah. Maybe just because it is such like a well-produced and manic and just it's just a crackerjack production.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, Raising Arizona holds a place in my heart. I think that is the one I've seen the most times.
I mean, oh man, like when he was good, you know, what's his face? Crazy...
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage.
Yes.
Nick Cage, yeah.
He never wanted to work with the Coen Brothers again. I feel like it was just it was a perfect match of actor and director, but I think on the set they actually butted heads a lot. Nicolas Cage was like, I have a lot of ideas for my character, and the Coen Brothers were like, no, we do everything exactly the way we want to do things. So it's just
didn't work out. It did work out.
Right. I mean, it eventually worked out pretty well for both of them, even if they didn't get to work together again.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, I don't want to keep you too long. I will say congratulations on getting Origin Story funded. That's fantastic.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, check out originstorydoc.com.
Check it out and enjoy the rest of the fest.
Thanks.
There you go. Me talking to Kulop Vilaysak and proof positive that Scott Aukerman and Harris Whittles and a whole score of other comedy podcasting legends are all giant Coen Brothers fans themselves. Interesting. Very interesting. I don't know why I lapsed into my Russian accent there. Must just be missing Jackie. It is lonely in the studio without her. Don't worry, guys. She'll be back next week for a pretty good episode we have already recorded about one of the Coen Brothers' worst movies, so stay tuned for that. And also, seriously, guys, check out OriginStoryDoc.com and check out the story just behind, you know, Kulop is doing, you know, kind of going back and doing a documentary about her origins in Laos. If you've ever heard her talk about that, it actually is a really, really interesting story. All right, I've teased this enough, guys. Let's wrap up this mini episode with a huge get, a spectacular get. I mean, what is the best possible guest I could get for Accept the Mystery? Scratch that. What are the two best guests I could possibly get for Accept the Mystery? I know who you're thinking. You're thinking Joel and Ethan Coen, right? Can you hear me? Can you hear me through my shitty grin right now? I got Joel and Ethan Coen as an interview on Accept the Mystery. They don't talk about their movies much, guys. They don't like particularly going on the record on this stuff at all. Only on rare occasions. But turns out they're fans of this podcast. And I was able to sit them down in the JFIO studios soon after the LA Podcast Festival. And have a short but pretty wide-ranging talk with Joel and Ethan Coen. And what they have to say may shock, surprise, and delight you. Here we go, guys. My interview with Joel and Ethan Coen for Accept the Mystery. Welcome back to Accept the Mystery. This is Josh Richmond, your intrepid host. I said host with like a, I don't know why.
It was throaty. You had a throaty thing.
Thank you. Well, please, I don't want to introduce you too early.
I'm sorry.
I had to do this emergency episode, even though Jackie is
911. Sorry. Go on. Keep going.
With the utmost respect, I just got to finish my intro and it's going to make you know your introduction more dramatic. I don't want people to recognize your voice and know who you are.
Okay, yes, you're right, you're right. Okay, thank you. Okay.
You know that this podcast is dedicated to the films of the Coen brothers and we talk about them in absurd excruciating.
The what brothers? Oh my goodness.
So when I saw that I had an opportunity to speak to Joel and Ethan Coen, I couldn't turn it down. So my heart is pounding, but in studio with me right now are the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen.
You're just too kind, Josh. I can hear the heart pounding, and you're just too kind. I know for myself, I'm excited to be here, and I just want to dig right in.
That's great. I love... You don't sound like I expected you to sound like.
Maybe, what do you mean?
Just your two brothers from the Midwest, right? You grew up in the Midwest.
We don't have that little tinge... there's no tinge in the voice like that Midwestern how you doing. We don't have that. We're just like a how you doing.
I can see.
I get it. It's a little weird. Our movies, we do try to have just a little bit more of that little that bounce, and the tinge is what it's all about. I feel like that's clear in all of our short films. Long form short film. That's what we really go for.
I mean, it's interesting to me that you consider your films to be long form short films.
It's long form short form films. So we're doing short films. We're in the short form medium, and we're doing long forms of the short form.
I know that you famously don't really talk about your films that much. You don't.
We don't talk, but I think today's the day. Today's the day we're gonna do it. We're just gonna do it.
You're deciding to open up after all this time.
Just gonna open up. You ask me. You throw a question. I'm gonna pick it up and answer it.
Wow. Wow. Thank you, Joel, for being so candid. Ethan, I've noticed you've been incredibly silent. Hopefully I'm not throwing you off with my interview style. I'm sorry if I'm nervous.
We notice. We're just trying to, like, we need to make you comfortable because we're big stars. We're big, big stars. So we understand.
Do you speak for Ethan also?
Oh, yes. We were born.
It's the brother thing. Mm-hmm. What each other is thinking.
When we were born, we were twins. Since we were about 3 or 4, we stopped being twins. So now we're just brothers.
So explain that, because I don't know you could stop being twins.
No, you can't. There was a surgery where we had to be separated.
So you used to be Siamese twins.
No, just twins. Our parents are both American. There's no Japanese descent anywhere in the family.
Sorry. I shouldn't have used that sort of that nomenclature anyways. You were conjoined twins. But then even after you were no longer conjoined, you're twins.
I don't know what you mean by conjoined, but we were twins. And then we had a surgery and we're no longer twins now.
Do you guys have the same birthday?
Not anymore, no. So I actually got a little younger from it, so that's good.
You don't look it. You look great. Thank you.
Some people say that you want to lie about your age the other way so you look better, but to me,
I don't think so. I think you want to make yourself seem older and more distinguished.
Yes,
I agree. You look very old, incredibly old.
Thank you.
So
too kind.
I mean, so let's start at the beginning. Blood Simple. When you put together this film, what was going through your head?
Blood Simple.
I know you don't rewatch your films, so maybe you're a little fuzzy on the details, which is okay.
We watch them if they're on TBS, because we had a big deal. We had an overall with TBS.
They are very funny.
We will watch
them. Your films are very funny.
Thank you. We will watch them if they are on TBS, just to get the numbers up.
But then you're watching the cut for syndication version.
Which is interesting. I like to see what people do with my film. I like to see what we came out with and what they decide to do with it. It's interesting. Sometimes they switch a penis to a balls sometimes.
Do you think TBS has ever approved one of your films?
Maybe you're like
you should send Final Cut to TBS and let them cut out all the swear words and make it family friendly, and then it's just better.
The one film, have you seen Beethoven?
Oh, of course. I grew up with Beethoven. You did Beethoven?
Technically it wasn't one of our films, but when we watched it, we just connected with it so much. And then when we saw it on TBS a few months later, it was like, it was just transcendent of what we saw in the theaters.
Would you do a Beethoven sequel?
We are working, we're working on it for a cinematographer. We want to help him. He's huge into dogs. Kind of a mix of Cujo and Beethoven.
A horror comedy. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
A rabid Beethoven plus kids. That's comedy.
It's for the whole family. It's not just, yeah.
Yeah, no, the kids are entertained by the dogs, the foaming at the mouth antics, mm-hmm. and the adults mm-hmm. are properly horrified.
Because we just want to up the ante to a different level, and we also kind of want it to end kind of like a prequel. So you're watching a sequel, but you're also seeing a prequel of, like, it's making all the questions you had from the first one that weren't answered, we're going to answer those questions in this one.
I also heard, and this is just on IMDb, so correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I heard that you were doing your spit on the Air Bud franchise.
The Air Bud, okay, well, that's, we're still in deals because we don't know if the Beethoven thing is going to conflict with the Air Bud thing.
Yeah.
Just the sport that we were both really impressed with was the hockey one. It was a straight-to-DVD hockey Air Bud. They had Adam Sandler attached at one point. I don't think the final cut had him.
Ooh.
He was in another one of our films, Happy Gilmore, which again was a film that we just really connected with, not one of our technical.
No, just a film you felt like was really an influence on you and your work.
Really, that really, Happy Gilmore, if you watch Blood Simple again, you'll see a lot of Happy Gilmore in it.
Okay, so
really kind of launched us into what we wanted to be doing.
Can you talk about, and please specifically, can you talk about how Happy Gilmore influenced your work on Blood Simple?
There was a lot of Subway. For right off the bat, Subway day in and day out on Blood Simple.
Just really comes through in the actor's performance.
You can see it.
This is a group of people who have just eaten Subway, and you can tell.
I'm glad you say that. A lot of critics just did not. I don't know if they didn't see it, but they didn't comment on it. And I think that almost hurts more when the comment's not there.
Mm. You always want to, of all great American filmmakers, I think with your films, you always know what the characters have been eaten, and that's such a window into their souls.
I think this is why just emotionally we knew we wanted to come on your podcast and open up to you.
Look, I am the expert here.
This apparently my wife Megan doesn't even get it sometimes. Like, we'll watch the movies and she'll be like, what do you mean Subway? And I'll be like, Megan, how don't you understand? And she just doesn't get it.
Well, maybe you could offer me an exclusive here, because I'm really excited about this Ice Buddies with or without Adam Sandler. Could you maybe I want to know what makes it. What's going to make it a Coen Brothers movie? What's going to be like your spin on the Buddies franchise?
Is that a right talk? Okay.
And I'm so excited.
We'd like to, get away from the dog. We feel like the dog needs to be there in a different way.
So in what way? Maybe he's already died, or he's like...
We want it to be... There's definitely the fear of death throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, let's not get married. But it's going to be more about the dog inspiring the coach. We want to do a story about a coach on ice, a coach who's never walked on land.
A coach who's never walked on land?
He's never had friction in his life.
He's just glided through life.
And
that's not even a metaphor. You're just saying did he grow up on the space station?
It takes place mostly in it's called Alaska, but it is actually a space station.
Okay.
But it's big enough to where it looks... It's like Elysium.
Okay.
Elysium?
But it's Alaska.
But it's Alaska.
And it's like a floating space station the size of Alaska.
We don't want to get into the whole world because, okay, so obviously Earth is too polluted and every continent and every country and every state has their own space ship.
Right.
And they orbit the Earth now. And Alaska is the ice one.
So Adam Sandler grew up in the Alaska space station and he's never understood what it's like to be on land.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
But then he comes to Earth.
First he goes to Ohio, the other space station, and Ohio is having a program where they're sending dogs down to Earth. And
to help repopulate
the Earth. And his dog accidentally gets put in the program, and it wasn't supposed to be. It's a series of wacky events that just kind of happen, and his golden retriever ends up in Ohio. And
it's going on a wild dog chase.
Yes. And he gets down to Earth, and Earth is the first time there's no ice left because it's so polluted that
right.
the ice melted.
Yeah.
And then eventually dried out. So now it's just desert land everywhere.
So he's on this planet that he's never seen before mm-hmm. that's completely mm-hmm. free of ice, just him and his dog, and he gets the idea, I'm going to teach this dog to play ice hockey.
Correct.
How does he get there?
He wants to bring ice hockey to planet Earth.
Which in this world is crazy.
Yes, yes. But at the same time, it's exactly what planet Earth needs.
You know, it's like the end of WALL-E. The return of ice hockey means the return of ice.
WALL-E was another one of our films that really inspired us.
You did WALL-E!
Well, again, we watched WALL-E and it really affected us.
Yeah, WALL-E was an inspiration on you.
Mm-hmm. And that's really how Blood Simple came about.
It was from WALL-E.
Was from everything. I feel like our future really affected our past, more so than other people's.
That doesn't seem possible. How does your future affect your past?
I mean, I've just laid the cards out for you. We had WALL-E, we had Air Bud, we had Beethoven.
It's true. You know, I hadn't thought about it, really. I'm just putting the pieces together now. All those films came out after Blood Simple. Mm-hmm. And yet you're claiming them all as influences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys time travelers?
That's hearsay to an extent.
Well, it's not hearsay if you guys say it. You could say it. That's an exclusive to me that's way bigger than the Ice Buddies project.
Josh, you're gonna get it out of us. We have dabbled in time travel. I wouldn't call us time travelers because it's more like just a vacation. Like we also go to Florida every Wednesday, of every third month. And it's like I wouldn't call us Floridians.
That's why your movies are so ahead of their time.
They're ahead of
Because they're literally ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've just gotten so much insight into your working process. So Fargo is another movie that takes place in ice.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys grew up in Minnesota, right? And so you guys grew up around ice.
Yes, we did.
I just noticed a little bit of that Minnesota accent coming out.
It comes out from time to time.
I was expecting more of it. I haven't heard any of it so far.
No, I'm sorry. Sometimes it just wants to leap out of me.
Is it because you've lived in California for so long? And this is voice?
This is my L.A. voice.
You're multifaceted artists.
We like to have our fingertips in a little bit of everything. And everyone, I'm sorry. But we like to get around.
Ooh,
we like to see things.
Tell if there's any sort of like, I don't know, it's like celebrity scandal. Tara Reid was in The Big Lebowski, and that was during like the height of like Tara Reid.
I don't know Tara. There's no Tara. Stage name, that's Melissa.
Melissa. It sounds like you guys really got to know each other.
Melissa, oh my God, the way she does her nails. Have you seen her nails?
I haven't.
The acute, the attention to detail she has on everything. Even when you have to I forget her name is Tara. They call her Melissa. But she always goes 110%, which... When you think about it, doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't.
But she goes far enough, and then farther.
Yeah, she goes as far as she needs to go.
I don't know what we were talking about.
And then she goes farther.
We were talking about sex scandals. She was a very nice little Christian girl that just really liked details.
So that's surprising to me because she had a reputation for being kind of a party girl, but not on set. She was all professionalism.
When she was on set, she was a professional.
Now, out of all the actors you've worked with, who would you say, was there anybody who was unprofessional?
I would just like to say three words, and two of them are just letters.
All right.
J. K.
Oh.
Simons.
Oh, his name is Simmons.
J.K. Simmons. And he would always correct me whenever I'd say Simmons. He'd be like, it's Simmons. Like, what do I need? What do I need that lip from you?
You don't correct your director.
What do I need that lip
from you? On the set, your director's in charge. He's in charge of, where you stand, and he's in charge of your name.
Yeah. I think I could just say we've never liked the guy.
That's so unbelievable, because I've heard from everybody else he's such a nice guy. Maybe it's because you kept getting his name wrong.
Most people are scared of him. He's very scary.
He is a very intense guy.
Can I say it? I'm going to say it. Racist.
What race?
Does not name a race, and he doesn't like them. Whites doesn't like whites. Blacks doesn't like blacks. Hispanics, he didn't say bad things about, but you could tell he wasn't a fan.
He's white.
That's the thing. That's why I brought it up.
So he just hates all races.
He's a race hater.
But, okay, and bear with me here. If you hate all races equally, doesn't that mean you love all races equally?
You sound like Mr. Simmons. You sound like him right now. If I say hi, hello to everybody, which one's better? Me saying hi, hello to everyone, or hey, go F yourself in the butt to everybody? Who's the nicer one?
I think the hi, hello guy is nicer.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least you're saying, hey, go fuck yourself to everybody, at least you're, playing
everyone's
fair.
Included. I get what you're saying, but I don't want to say, oh, he's a nice guy because he includes everyone. Sometimes there's a reason you don't get picked to be on the football team.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
You know?
Look, we're almost out of time with this interview. I wish I could talk with you all day, and I feel like I've barely dived into your extensive career. I just want to ask you, I think this is the big one, what was your favorite film to make? What film do you feel like best expresses your vision?
Oh, my goodness. Probably.
It could even be a film that hasn't come out yet, because as I know, you're a time traveler.
I think it's No Country for Old Men.
For Gary Oldman, No Country for Gary Oldman.
Okay, well, now we're going to talk about the sequel coming out. kidding. No Country for Old Men. It just had a lot of themes about of redemption, all that kind of silly stuff that we just love to just dig our fingers into. Redemption, greed, good versus evil, and coin flips.
I mean, you're saying it pretty flippantly. That's ironic that maybe you're just bringing up coin flips. But I mean, these are heavy themes you're talking about.
Yeah, we're heavy people. We like to dig into it.
But when you're talking about this film, you're just throwing it around like, oh, redemption and greed and,
I don't know what you're... Josh, I don't know if you're attacking me.
No, please. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not attacking you. I was just surprised to see you.
If you want me to be more serious, I'll put my serious voice on, but I just felt like we were going to be laid back.
Okay, well, just for this one film, I want to hear you put your serious voice on.
All right, Josh. We really...
Oh, wow. You really dig into the serious voice when you go for it.
No Country for Old Men. We really liked the theme of redemption and greed.
Now this is more. This is what I was expecting the Coen Brothers to sound like.
I didn't know I had to put a show on for you.
You know what? Okay, I'm sorry.
There's your soundbite. You have fun with it. You enjoy it. You use it all you want.
I guess I just didn't realize that was a persona you were affecting, and I'm sorry. Now I feel like the world is going to get to know the real Joel Coen, and I guess a little bit the real Ethan Coen, though he's just been sitting here silently. I'm Ethan. I'm sorry. I don't know why you'd feel like you can't talk. One quote for the interview.
Do you want to say it? Just say it. Don't be afraid to say it.
Thank you for having us on, Josh.
Wow. A rare quote from the Ethan Coen.
I don't think he meant it either.
Yeah, it did seem a little bit insincere, but at least I got him to say one thing. All right. Well, nonetheless, I'm sorry we're ending things slightly tense, but thank you so much for stopping by Accept the Mystery. It's been a real honor to have you. I hope you listen to this show till the end, because we're going to keep talking about all your movies.
We are fans. I do want to put that out there. We do enjoy it. You stump us mostly on the quizzes. We never get them right. We're always yelling C. We always yell C anyways.
Well, that's where I really excel in making the quizzes, is sometimes I choose C, but sometimes they make the answer not C. And that's how you throw them off.
We've noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it's been a real pleasure, guys. Thank you so much, and keep making great movies.
Thank you. Bye.
There you go. My interview with Joel and Ethan Coen for Accept the Mystery. There's nowhere to go from here. It's just all downhill. I mean, now that we've gotten those kind of secrets out of those guys, everything else is just going to seem like an anticlimax. I wish Ethan had said more. Joel is obviously the talker of the group. Ethan, I mean, you didn't come across in the interview, but Ethan was basically sitting on his lap like a ventriloquist dummy. He may not even be a real person. Maybe they're just playing up the brother angle because it's good for press. I think Joel's obviously the mastermind. I mean, listen to just the depths of film knowledge in that conversation. About his own films. He knows so much. Probably because he's a time traveler. Anyhow, next week, we get into Intolerable Cruelty. You can find me on Twitter at Radio TFB. You can find other stuff I've recorded or written, etc., etc., at joshrichmond.net. And you can find all the other episodes of this show at accepthemystery.net. Hope you enjoyed this bonus ep. And please, if you take one thing away from this week, slow down. Slow down a little bit, guys. A lot of stressful bullshit in the world we live in. We as humans are not necessarily built for that. We're built for a lifestyle where, you know, we live in villages of 30 or 40, and occasionally we have to go out and hunt or pick berries and, you know, take care of kids and try to get laid. But our brains are barely even wired for the kind of stimuli we have to deal with on a daily basis now. We're all human beings. We are all sentient organic meat sacks put on this earth for some unknown or possibly completely inexplicable reason. Just trying to do the best we can. But life isn't about making deadlines. And it's not about racking up accomplishments. It's about enjoying the experiences we have that we have access to while we can. So slow down. And maybe you won't rear-end people on the freeway and end up with a car you bought a year ago that may end up totaled. Not even because there's a lot of damage done to it, just because the airbag's deployed and airbags are fucking expensive. Ugh. But I'm not getting caught up in it, and neither should you. Because dealing with insurance adjusters is not what matters in life. Find what matters in life to you, and focus on that, and find your bliss. No bullshit. And next week, we talk more about Coen Brothers, so we will resume our regularly scheduled programming, and I will not rant so much in philosophical fashion. So, until next time, from me to you, for real, peace and love.